It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.
Alrighty. So will we just start this?
Yeah, let's do this. Now, let's go for it.
Hello, listener. Welcome. Welcome to episode 4 of
it's Feckology. Five.
This is episode 5 of Feckology, the podcast that makes the unfunny funny and then unfunny again. This is the podcast that makes the unimportant seem important. It's an analysis of observations that we have in life. And we are here. My name is the Big Mouse, and I'm here with my co-host, Trainer. And you wanted to say some things about the community, man.
Community, man. Now, I wanted to mention that. So I don't know why I said no there when the answer was yes. I just wanted to mention that we received some nice feedback on the last episode. We did meteor topics. It piqued people's interests more. So anyway, thanks to anyone who got in contact about that one.
Yeah, it's great to get your advice. And not your advice. That's actually a slip of the tongue. I didn't actually mean that. But it brings us on nicely to the topic of today's podcast, which is our relationships with advice giving and advice receiving. I should have just said our relationships with advice.
Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, relationship with advice, indeed.
That would have been more concise. So we both have kind of contrasting relationships with advice. And Trainer, you have in the past expressed some strong views about receiving advice, which people in our friend group are familiar with. But I think the listener would be delighted to hear about that. So I advise you now to share your views on advice with the listener.
Yeah, so we were talking about this recently and then decided it would be a good topic for a podcast because it's something I'd say, maybe like the shit friendships of last week, that everyone can relate to and has experienced at some point in their lives. And I said to you, personally, I hate receiving advice. I hate receiving advice, especially when it's unwanted advice. And I feel like that type of advice, like I feel advice should never be dispensed unless this it's asked for. So in my mind, I'd rather, to steal a phrase from one of our friends, I'd rather fall on my own sword than be offered advice and make the mistakes and kind of learn from them and then do it better the next time. But I find when I'm in a position where somebody has given me unsolicited advice, advice I didn't ask for, that it quite irritates me, irks me, and I, as a result, never tend to really give advice unless I'm very much asked for it. I said this more articulately the bit we didn't record before we went on the air, but fucking
during
red light fever, as they say.
Yes, I was thinking of an image of your preference for advice would be that you enter into a pub and you go up to the bar and you order a pint of Guinness, and the Guinness is the advice, and you're welcoming the advice because you've ordered it.
Yeah.
As opposed to having a drink left on your table that you didn't ask for.
I thought you might like the IPA. Well, you thought wrong. All right. Thanks for the drink.
Yeah, I've got the drinks in. I've gotten you something completely different that you didn't ask for because I thought it would be really good for you. This is what you need. Sorry, I'm just enjoying my own metaphor there too much. Back to the topic at hand. So you have some examples of this, do you? That like you felt uncomfortable with people giving you advice.
I won't get too specific, but over the last few years, let's say, I've received relationship advice from people. We've received advice about this podcast. I possibly overreacted at that time, but it was still advice that, you know, we weren't asking for. And I've received financial advice from you. But in each occasion, I didn't ask on that occasion for advice. And it just set something off in me. And you're kind of sitting there going, oh, this is really uncomfortable because I didn't ask for this. I don't want to hear it. And I'm not going to do what you're suggesting. So I just wanted to end.
Yeah. And there's certain, I don't know if it's a human thing or a man thing, but there's a certain urge to give advice sometimes. I know from older father figures, shall we say, or older people, they love to give you advice. So it's almost, I don't know, you just have to hold yourself back. It's like, oh, I want to give advice. I want to tell this person what I know and what they think they should do. And I think it's probably Is it something to do with a confusion of intent or something? Because the advice giver, which I have been in the past, is trying to impart wisdom in an egotistical way, but they don't think they're egotistical in that moment. They think they are doing a nice thing for the recipient of the unsolicited advice.
Yeah, I think it's...
Whereas it's not received like that by the recipient if it's unsolicited.
Yeah, I think it's more like what I said earlier, just to slightly rephrase it, but it's almost as if somebody is telling you how to run your life, and I don't like that. I don't know if I can put it any more simply than that.
That's the nub of it.
And these things are serious. If it was just kind of day-to-day nonsense, that's fine. Oh, you should try the chicken Big Mac. All right, yeah, actually, I might give that a try. No bother, you know? But when it's finances, that's quite personal. And then when it's something creative like a podcast, that's very personal to me, especially if there's a creative element to it. And you're thinking there to yourself, don't you think that I've thought of this? That's what I'd be thinking. Don't you think that I've thought of many different things? And during the thought process, this is what I decided to do. So it's not as if I've sat there and I haven't put any thought into my finances, or I haven't put any thought into this podcast, or I haven't put any thought into how this relationship eventually went, you know, or decisions that were made about it. And for you to kind of just brush in or kind of dive in and just say, have you thought about doing this? Then that's to me, it's kind of going like, would you not credit me by having thought about that? Would you not credit me by having put a lot of thought into this? And the fact that the person appears to be in that moment, not crediting you with being able to analyze your own life and the situation that you find yourself in, or your own creative endeavor, and thinks that they can offer you better than you've come up with yourself, even though you didn't ask them for their opinion. To me, that's just it's a perfect storm of things I really, really dislike.
You really hate. Fair enough. And now I'm going to counterbalance that with some experience I've had of pleasant experiences with advice, or, that's weird. But where advice worked out quite well for me. And I'd be interested in hearing your advice. Do I keep saying that? Anyway, go on.
I will say that I'm not so egotistical to think that I never need anybody's advice. So I will balance out my own negativity here later on with a couple of good examples as well.
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. And so one example of I don't really have many examples of advice in life that I've really embraced. But one thing that stood out is when I was in final year in college and I was studying. And I was just kind of a middle of the road student. And there was one lecturer, and she gave advice to the class. And she said, "So this is actually a really alienating example because it makes me sound like a big academic nerd and privileged and all that. But fuck it. This is the feckology. I was going to say this is the feck and check-in. No, it's the feckology." But she said, you could all continue along to do your work and you could all get a 2-1 or a 2-2 in your grades and that's fine. But you could go for a first. And if you just work a little bit harder and if you put a little bit more effort in and if you go for it and you're ambitious, then you can get a first and you will get a first and you should do that. And I remember at the time, her name was Mairead Brady. She was a marketing lecturer. And I remember just being struck by that I'd never had the ambition to go for a first class honors mark. I just thought that's what other people do. That's beyond me. I could never do that. So it just wasn't on my radar. It just seemed unattainable. Yeah. But she broke it down and she made it like seem really attainable. And there was motivation in the way she was saying it. And then it just struck me. It struck a chord with me. And that was a piece of advice that I took from her that made me go on and study. And I for some reason, I believed what she said. And I started to believe that it was going to happen. And then it did happen. I worked, that was due to the work that I put in. But I wouldn't have got there if she hadn't have said that. So that was an example of advice that was, in a small way, life-changing advice.
Yeah, that there, it's so simple, but it makes a whole lot of sense. Sometimes you just need somebody to say the thing that you wouldn't even dare think to make it seem like a possibility.
Yeah. So there's certain, it's almost along the lines of that advice that's like believe in yourself type of advice or motivational type of advice, which is a tricky balance to get. where, because you can go towards, I don't know, patronizing within that. But she struck it the right chord with me that time.
That's the word as well, I suppose, I might have been looking for earlier, is there's a delicate balance between being caring towards somebody and appearing as being patronizing. And I suppose it's on the recipient how to take that. And with me, I always take it the wrong way. But maybe some people might take it the other way. That probably depends on your entire general disposition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. It's really like where you are as the recipient in that moment of your life. Are you ready for advice at that moment? And I suppose someone who was, I was around 20 at the time, you're kind of looking a bit more for advice in life in general. You're looking for direction. So it was kind of being in the right place at the right time. Whereas if you're, I don't know, a mature student, 34, and you went back to college and someone said that, you go, ah, fuck off, would you? Telling us to do that. That's nonsense. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
But you've jotted down as well some positive experiences with advice that you had as well.
Yeah. So this is something that I may have mentioned before in a previous podcast, but that's all so long ago now that I've forgotten really what we did and didn't say at given times. But I was working in a pub as lounge staff, and that's just basically ordering the drinks at the bar, bringing them to the tables, etc. And I was doing some work upstairs in the pub one day with the bar manager, and he was asking me at the time, so a lounge boy would have been my role, he was asking me, and that's not somebody who pulls the pints, let's just be clear about that for international listeners. That's, you don't make the drinks, you don't pull the pints, you just carry them from the bar to the tables and you get the money and you give change and all that type of stuff. So he asked me at that point, was I ever interested in being a barman? And when you're a lounge staff, like, you do think of like, wouldn't it be fucking cool to be a barman? Wouldn't that be a nice career step? I'd get more money, probably very little extra, but I'd get more money. You know, you'd be, I think as one of our friends mentioned recently, master of your domain. You'd have your own little area behind the bar, and like, you know, you get to interact with all the customers and like pull pints and look real cool and slick when you do it and all that. And it did seem like an attractive thing at the time when I was 17 years old. And I said, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, down the line, yeah, I'd be interested. And he's like, do you want my advice? And I said, all right, on this occasion, because I was young and I wasn't so bitter. I said, yeah, please. And he said, don't ever become a barman. And I couldn't think of anything to say at that moment in time for a second. And I eventually went, why not? And he's like, because it's too easy to get work and you'll never get out of it. And I went, all right. Ooh. And he's like, most people I talk to, most barmen, never intended to be a barman for life, but they took their first role as a barman. And then they might have moved on from that job or moved house and they got another role as a barman very quickly because there's bars everywhere. And then they ended up in another one and another one. And they might have moved around a few different pubs. But then all of a sudden you're 50 or 60 years old and you haven't done anything else that you might have wanted to do when you were younger. And basically his summary was, it's too easy to find work and you'll stay in it for way longer than you want or maybe ever. And I did take that advice. I never became a barman. The offer was forthcoming at one point and I declined it. And it was something that I took on board, really. And I think it had a good effect on me overall, because I could have easily seen myself not studying or not, you know, completing my college degree and just doing bar work and then probably not being able to do the things that I wanted to do with my life.
It seems like it was really to the point and succinct and sort of blunt.
Yeah.
And it also seems like you were ready at that time to accept it, that advice.
I was. And it's funny because I'm kind of contradicting myself here. I did briefly at one point when I was out of a job, apply for a job as a barman temporarily in a different pub a few years later. And it was evident immediately from the fucking way I tried to pull pints and my confusion with handling cash and everything that I'd never done it before and very quickly was removed from being behind the bar. But in general, I had that in the back of my mind the whole time. This is too easy. You can stay in this the rest of your life. You don't necessarily want to do that. You want to do something different. So maybe keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think another area where I've received advice that's been pleasurable. Sorry, I don't know why I'm going down that route with this. But has been in the domain of managing work politics, workplace politics, because sometimes I miss out on certain nuances and what to say to certain people and whether to do a certain thing for a certain person. I'm not that good at that, but it's kind of an area I know I'm not an expert on. So when people have intervened and told me things about don't say this to her or do this, I've always really kind of appreciated that, because I kind of have this kind of ruthless side to me. It's like, oh, fuck her or fuck him or whoever. Mm. And like burn the house down type of thing and quit. Like I'd be thinking in my head, I'm going to quit this job rather than do that for Sheila.
Rather than send that email from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit the job.
I'd be belligerent and I'd be pacing around. So that's an area. I think in general in work, we have to accept advice, but maybe that's domain specific, that's comfortable. Like because
I wouldn't extend it to my professional career, because I very much am learning all the time in my job, and people who are more senior than me give very good advice on things. But like that's being an employee and having a manager and all that type of thing.
Yeah,
that's
there's
fine.
A kind of a natural hierarchy, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. But like to me, it's when it's your peers or your contemporaries or your friends coming in, giving you advice that you didn't ask for. Yeah.
So
we think the people older than us don't know anything and the young people know nothing.
Yeah, basically. And how dare anyone our own age have the...
Don't get me started on them. They're the worst.
They're the worst. All the cohorts, all the bloody Gen Z, Gen A, Gen B, whatever, all of them. We don't want advice from any of them.
Post-millennials, whatever they're calling that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lesson learned. I'll finish with one. I have maybe a letter to read out to finish. It's going to sound really weird to the listener. We're maybe going to finish on a letter in a minute or so.
Yeah.
But I have another example of how I alienated people with advice. I got very interested in Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, and I invested some money in it, and I tried to get my friend group, including Trainer here, to also invest in it. And I went on and on and on and droned on and on and on. And then I alienated people to the extent where they would interact with me just to take the piss out of me and wind me up about it, which was fair enough. And it's only looking back on it now, it's like, no, I was obsessive there. And my intention was good, but I was...
Funny thing is that there was a point several years ago where I was on the cusp of investing in it. And had I done at the time, I would have made money out of it. But I didn't. I chickened out at the last minute.
But I think it was just that I was crossing a boundary by incessantly giving advice to people. I think that's the... It's not necessarily if the advice is correct or not. Like, you can't plead with people to listen, and if they don't listen, keep going on about it. And I've definitely done that.
Lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Did I say that already on a Feckology episode? I think I might have.
I think you have. Maybe on a feckin' check-in.
I don't know.
There you go. This letter, I might read. Do you want me to read all of it or some of
read
it?
Read the fucking letter.
This is from author John Steinbeck, who this was from the 1950s. His son had written to him and told him that he had gotten into a romantic relationship and that he was in love. And this is John Steinbeck's letter of fatherly advice to his son in response. Dear Thom, T-H-O-M. This meant to be serious. Sorry, this bit. All right. John Steinbeck.
Tom is quite funny, though.
Tom. As if it's normal. Anyway, dear Thom, we had your letter this morning. I will answer it from my point of view, and of course Elaine will from hers. Elaine is his wife. First, if you are in love, that's a good thing. That's about the best thing that could happen to anyone. Don't let anyone make it small or light to you. Second, there are several kinds of love. One is selfish, mean, grasping, egotistical thing which uses love for self-importance. This is the ugly and crippling kind. The other is an outpouring of everything good in you, of kindness and consideration and respect. not only the social respect of manners, but the greater respect, which is recognition of another person as unique and valuable. The first kind can make you sick and small and weak, but the second can release in you strength and courage and goodness and even wisdom you didn't know you had. You say this is not puppy love. If you feel so deeply, of course it isn't puppy love. But I don't think you were asking me what you feel. You know better than anyone. What you wanted me to help you with is what to do about it, and I can tell you. Glory in it for one thing, and be very glad and grateful for it. The object of love is the best and most beautiful. Try to live up to it. If you love someone, there is no possible harm in saying so. Only you must remember that some people are very shy, and sometimes the saying must take their shyness into consideration. Do you want me to keep going? There's a few lines left. We will be glad to meet Susan. She will be very welcome. But Elaine will make all such arrangements because that is her province and she will be very glad to. She knows about love too and maybe she can give you more help than I can. And don't worry about losing. If it is right, it happens. The main thing is not to hurry. Nothing good gets away. Love, Fa.
Susan and Elaine, eh? S and E.
So it's a roundabout way of linking it back to our childhood friends, Susan and Elaine. What was it like to listen to that?
It was good fatherly advice, I reckon. To me, the tone there is correct. It doesn't step over into the patronizing area. Yeah. And I'd say it was probably welcome. But
There's a lot of wisdom in it and without it being specific or prescriptive of what he should do. And there's a lot of respect in it. Even though it's a father talking to his son, he's respecting his feelings
as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his own thoughts and feelings.
So that's a really delicate balance he's gotten in that letter. I think it's almost like an advice, but there's like compassion and understanding and respect around it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So just do that then, everybody. Okay, so that's the letter. Trainer, do you have any final words?
Yeah, I'm going to finish off with a quote from a song that gets a lot of stick as being rubbish, but I actually always loved. This is the Sunscreen song by Baz Luhrmann. The speech that was, I think, misappropriated to someone else and actually was an internet email floating around for years. But anyway, the words in it always stuck with me, and I'm looking for the piece on advice, which is the bit I want to read out, and I can't fucking find it now. So be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth.
Yes.
There's one piece in that I should pay attention to, which is be patient with those who supply it. So too often, I think, I react too strongly and I react in a guttural kind of way where I'm like, no, fuck you, I didn't ask you. But be patient. Be patient with those who supply it is probably the best piece of advice in that section about advice there. And it's something that I need to learn from and I should.
And he's also cautioning about receiving advice at the same time. Mm. He's seen it almost from both perspectives there, which is really good advice. And that whole song is about advice. Okay. We're going to wrap this one up, listener, we're going to wrap this one up, listener. This has been enough on advice. We hope you've enjoyed it. We've hoped you could engage with it. I hope we made it sound really important. And Trainer, do you have any final words of advice for the listener?
I advise you, if you wish, this is getting tiresome. If you would like to contact us, you can do so by going to @Fecology on Twitter, and we will be releasing the episodes there and chat back to you there if you want to comment on anything about the episode or previous episodes.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Well, hey. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Fecology. Fecology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Fecology. Fecology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Fecology.